On Sunday, November 17th at 11 p.m., Sugar in My Bowl will honor the life of Eartha Kitt with her daughter, Kitt Shapiro. We will also celebrate by featuring the first ever musical tribute, I Want to Be Evil with Love to Eartha Kitt by Renee Marie. That's Sunday, November 17th at 11 p.m. right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web.
I want to be evil. Get drunk on. I want a little sweetness down in my soul. I could stand some loving, oh so bad. I feel so funny, I feel so sad. I want a little steam on my clothes. Things up so they'll go. What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I need some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar in my bowl.
You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Sugar in My Bowl is the name of this program. Thank you, David Kenny. If everything old is new again, David will be back next week, as he is here every Sunday at 9 p.m. Yes, that's it, 9 p.m. And tonight is actually a sort of everything is old again show. Everything old is new again show. My guest is Kitt Shapiro. She is the daughter of Eartha Kitt. And we will be featuring Renee Marie's latest release, I Wanna Be Evil. The trick is that, you know, Eartha Kitt has I Want to Be Evil. Anyway, stay tuned for more Sugar in My Bowl, Kitt Shapiro, Eartha Kitt, Renee Marie, and me, Joyce Jones. Stay tuned.
I want some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar. My
nacido en mi tierra, con el pincel extranjero, pintor que sigue ese rumbo de tantos pintores viejos, aunque la Virgen sea blanca, píntame angelitos negros que también se van al cielo. Todos los negritos buenos, pintor, si pintas con amor, ¿por qué desprecias su color? Si sabes que en el cielo también los quiere Dios. Pintar de santos de alcoba, si tienes alma en el cuerpo, porque al pintar en tus cuadros te olvidaste de los negros. Siempre que pintas iglesias, pintas angelitos bellos, pero nunca te acordaste de pintaron ángel negro. Pintor, si pintas con amor, ¿por qué deprecia su color? Si sabes que en el cielo también los quiere Dios. Pintar de santos de alcoba, si tienes alma en el cuerpo, porque al pintar tus cuadros te olvidaste de los negros. Siempre que pintas iglesias, pintas angelitos bellos, pero nunca te acordaste de pintar un ángel negro.
I've posed for pictures with ivory soap. I've petted stray dogs and shied clear of dope. My smile is brilliant. My glance is tender. But I'm noted most for my unspoiled gender. I've been made Miss Rheingold, though I never touch beer. And I'm the person to whom they say, "You're sweet, my dear." The only etchings I've seen have been behind glass. And the closest I've been to a bar was at ballet class. Prim and proper. The girl who's never been cased. Well, I'm tired of being pure and not chaste. Like something that seeks its level, I wanna go to the devil, wanna be evil. I wanna spit tax. I wanna be evil and cheat at jacks. I wanna be wicked. I wanna tell lies. I wanna be mean and throw my ties. I want to wake up in the morning with that dark brown taste. I wanna see some dissipation in my face. I wanna be evil. I wanna be mad. But more than that, I wanna be bad. I wanna be evil and trump an ace, just to see my partner's face. I wanna be nasty. I wanna be cruel. I wanna be daring. I wanna shoot pool. And in the theater, I want to change my seat, just so I can step on everybody's feet. I wanna be evil. I wanna hurt for life. I wanna sing songs like the guy who cries. I wanna be horrid. I wanna drink booze. And whatever I've got, I am eager to lose. I wanna be evil. Little evil.
My name's Joyce Jones, and I'm on the line with
Kit Shapiro. Shapiro.
Kit Shapiro, thank you so much for speaking with me and being a part of Sugar in My Bowl.
I love it.
And Kit Shapiro, for those who are not aware, is Eartha Kitt's daughter, Eartha Kitt's only child.
That is correct. And you know, that's why I got the name Kit. Not sure what she would have named another child if she'd had one. I don't even know if she thought that far ahead.
Yeah, I understood that her naming you Kit was sort of making you one.
I think so. I used to joke with her many times that she named me Kit so she wouldn't forget my name. But I think that it was also a way because she always felt that children take on the father's last name, but then they don't really have the name of the mother to carry on.
Right.
So I think that that was part of her thinking in that. But I would say to her many times, what if you'd had more than one child? I think I would have been the George Foreman of girls.
You know, right.
I would have been a Kit one, Kit two. But she would introduce us many times. She would say, I'm Eartha, and this is Kit, as if I completed her somehow. And I think that in many ways I did. I think I gave her the roots that she never had. She was an orphan and didn't have a family, didn't really know her family. So I think that that was very important, that she felt that we were sort of connected, you know, not just by being mother and daughter, but that people would know we were connected just by our names.
Right. Are there any things in the works for a tribute to her or performances or recordings or anything like that?
Well, Renee Marie has done the first tribute album.
Duh!
Oh, yes! Yeah!
I've posed for pictures with ivory soap. I take in stray dogs and steer clear of dope. My smile is brilliant. My glance is tender. But I'm noted most for my unspoiled gender. Prim and proper. A girl who's never been kissed. But I'm tired of being pure. So, how about a little twist? Like something that sinks its level. I want to go to the devil. I want to be evil. I want to spit tap. I want to be evil. I want to scratch some bats. I want to be wicked. I want to tell lies. I want to be mean and black and surmise. I want to wake up with that dark brown taste. I want to see some dissipation in my face. I want to be evil. I want to be mad. But more than that, I want to be bad. I want to be evil and trump an A. Get to see the look on my partner's face. I wanna be nasty. I wanna be cruel. I wanna be daring. I wanna shoot pool and in the theater. I want to change my seat just so I can step on everybody's feet. I wanna be evil. I wanna hurt flies. I wanna do things that scandalize. feet. I want to be evil, get drunk on food, and whatever I've got, I'm eager to lose.
Which I have to say, I was nervous to listen to it because I'd never heard anybody record most of my mother's songs before.
Uh-huh.
And when I started listening to it, I really was riveted. I loved her renditions because they were not my mother's renditions. Mm-hmm. They were making the songs her own, and I just thought my mother would love that. Love that she was saying who she was.
Excellent. Well,
Very beautifully done.
So, can we talk about why you're in town?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
What you doing in town? Why are you in town?
I am ready to do another CD.
Mm.
This time, it's a tribute to the music of Eartha Kitt.
Oh, wow.
Yes, Lord.
Gosh.
Eartha Kitt now.
You are going to have fun with that.
Oh! I'm already having fun. I've been singing at home like I've got to get my look ready, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody can sing like Eartha.
Yeah.
Let's just be real.
Yeah.
But, boy, she knew how to have fun with a song.
Yeah.
And she was sexy.
Mm.
She was.
You should look at some videos
of this child.
Of course. She was when she wasn't even trying. In St. Louis Blues, she wasn't trying. And she was.
She was just being Eartha.
Exactly.
That bad Eartha, as they used to. She has an album called That Bad Eartha. And she was a mess.
Yeah.
So I'm so thrilled. I mean, I've always thought, people who do tribute albums, why do they do that? Then I thought, you know, Eartha Kitt, she was in a category all by herself.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't even trying to do jazz. She would do show tunes.
That's right.
Anything she wanted.
That's right.
But she knew how to Eartharize it.
That's right.
Now, not that I'm going to do that, because I'm not trying to sound like Eartha on the CD. I just want to revisit some of the music that she did and have fun with it.
Like, what are you going to revisit?
Man, there's this tune called Old John. And when I saw the lyrics to it, I said, I remember this being passed around in school when I was a little girl. So it starts off with, Old John, please don't kiss me.
Mm.
Oh, John, please don't kiss. Oh, John, please don't. Oh, John, please. Oh, John.
Oh, sweat.
Oh.
Oh, John.
Oh. Now, it sounds so simple, but the way she sings it...
You said it was passed around in school?
Yeah!
Oh, gosh!
Yeah, junior high, you know how it was back then. But the way she sings it gives me chills.
Yeah.
I think, how did she take this simple little song? Mm. Well, the orchestration is great. She always had great orchestration.
Oh, John, please go home now. Oh, John, please go home. Oh, John, please go. John, please, oh John, oh.
Big bands and orchestras behind her, and that woman could present a show like nothing I've and nobody I've ever seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you you probably know that Renee Marie also had her own interactions with. The American, I don't know, media or,
yes.
or backlash
yes.
around the Star Spangled Banner.
Yes. A song that's gotten so many people in trouble.
Yes.
when you think about it, right? How many
right.
people have had issues with that? I think that that's one of the reasons why she connected with my mother
yeah.
was because she could totally relate to the person that my mother was, the human being.
Right.
And plus, she was really a social activist. I mean, she was outspoken. Because when I decided to do her music, I want to read up more about her.
Sure.
And found out she was involved in a lot of stuff. She went to dinner at the White House when President Johnson and Lady Bird were there.
Mm-hmm.
And she took Lady Bird to task about some issue. I can't remember. Some issue involving children.
Mm-hmm.
She just took her to task. Now, Mrs. Johnson, you know. Well, I can't remember exactly what she said, but spoke out, child.
Wow.
I sort of hate to raise it, but it seems to be key in your mother's career, the incident at the White House that happened with Lady Bird.
Yes.
She was apparently invited on the issue of juvenile delinquency, but
yes.
and she made a statement with regard to Vietnam possibly contributing to that state.
My mother took the idea of freedom of speech very much to heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's in the White House, and the president's wife asks her a question. She assumed she actually wanted her opinion.
Right.
And so my mother gave her opinion as to why she thought that there was so much juvenile delinquency in the streets of America at that time, which was during Vietnam. And my mother felt that it might have had something to do with the war, because the young people especially were very much against the war.
Right.
And it wasn't received particularly well by the Johnson administration. And then my mother was often quite, I think, surprised that it wasn't received, because she didn't feel that she was being rude.
Mm-hmm.
Or she certainly didn't feel that she was being disrespectful. She answered a question.
Well, she was actually invited for her
yes.
opinion.
Yes.
So.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Silly. Silly that she actually gave it.
Right. Wow. And so as a result, she wasn't working in the country for a while.
Yes, Johnson ordered the CIA to investigate her and the FBI, and there's a dossier that was filled with many, many pages of taxpayers' money following her and me, and I was nine, so clearly I wasn't, you know, doing anything anti-American.
You're a known troublemaker at nine. Anyway,
that's me. Yes, you know that blonde hair and blue eyes. They already suspected me as it was.
Right.
My mother would have said it wasn't unfortunate, because my mother felt that everything happens the way it's supposed to, and that she would often say to me, "God may not be there when you want him, but he's always on time."
Right. Well, she was also working more in other countries, I suspect. There was more traveling involved as a result of it?
Yes. I mean, she'd always been an international star and entertainer,
right.
and we traveled the world. So when a lot of the work dried up in the United States from Johnson putting the kibosh on her appearances,
mm-hmm.
other venues that had been wanting her to perform picked up the slack. So, you know, at first, she didn't really notice much of a difference, you know, much. She just noticed that she was performing in Europe more frequently than she was in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started to become apparent to her that people here had been ordered not to allow her to perform here.
Mm-hmm. Now, was she working with an agency at that time, and they would book the international appearances, or?
There were several, yeah. She had a couple of agents in various places around the world, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how was that at that time? No one was aware of it until way after the fact or something, or what?
Well, my mother sort of, I think, suspected on some, because, you know, she'd heard the rumors from different producers and people who'd been told that, you know, oh, well, you know, we got a call and they're putting a lot of pressure on us. But when Watergate broke, and it was Jack Anderson, and I'll think of his name in a minute, who called my mother and said to her, you know, there's a CIA dossier of you here that's been uncovered. And so then it was, it sort of all came out, and she realized that it wasn't just her imagination, that there was a reason why she hadn't been working in the United States for the last however many years it was. I believe it was a good 10 years easily.
Wow.
Maybe not quite that many. It was probably a good 7 or 8 years.
Okay. Now, I understood that there was, aside from LBJ and that administration, that there were actually people who supported her having spoken out. Although, you know, there was some weird press. But I understood there was also people who actually supported the fact that she said what she said.
Yes, I think that there were people who, unlike today, where it's in many ways easier, because we certainly have more outlets, to sort of be supportive of one another. Back then, it was more fearful, and you supported somebody, but very quietly. So she had some people who stood up for her and who said she was making a very good point, but she also had a lot of hate mail and a lot of threats against her. And because, you know, when the government goes after you, it's obviously perceived to that you are anti-American. And in those days, of course, you were a communist. If you were anti-American,
right,
you were a communist.
So, right.
And there were definitely two clear sides to, you know, the good guys and the bad guys.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to imitate
her
voice. Only thing I can imitate of Earth is this.
Actually, that was my introduction to her.
Me too.
Being Catwoman.
Me too.
Yeah.
What did you, now when you saw that as a little girl, right? What was you, where did you look at your face?
if people could see my face.
Okay, here's her face, y'all. She's going, what is that?
Exactly.
And who is that, a black woman?
Exactly.
Is she being, I didn't know you could do that.
Exactly. That's exactly that's what it was. I didn't know you could do that.
Can we do that?
Right. I mean, she was sizzling.
She was.
Batman looked so nervous.
And can you imagine what the outtakes were like? Oh, my God.
And that, and seeing that was also during the time that there was Nancy Wilson on TV. You know, she was doing variety shows.
Mm-hmm.
And there was...
Diane Carroll?
Diane Carroll, yeah. There was still Julia.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Julia.
And there, you know, there were faces, but there was, there was even Leslie Uggams.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So it was, we were seen, but not like her. There was a kid.
Nobody was doing
no
that.
No one was doing that.
She wasn't just being, it was almost like you didn't see the color.
Yeah.
Almost.
Almost.
Because this other stuff she was doing was bigger than that.
Well, I also wondered how she wound up on Batman. It's like, how? How did that happen? You know, there was also, Nichelle Nichols on Star Trek.
Right.
So, you know, I accepted her straight out, you know, because it was Star Trek.
But all those women were well behaved.
Exactly.
Whereas Eartha was up to no good.
She was like evil. She wanted to be evil.
I want to be evil. That's going to be on the CD.
Excellent.
I want to be bad.
Right.
I want to be wicked. Oh, yeah. I love that song. Then there's another one she did called I'd Rather Be Burned as a Witch than Never to Burn at All.
They say that I'm a witch and that I weave a spell. Well, I use my eyes to invite you, my lips to delight you, and all of the charms of the feminine wild to excite you. They say that I'm a witch and that I weave a spell. Well, I'll be a son of a what for? Well, let me tell you, brother, I'd rather be burned as a witch than never to burn at all. I use my songs to entice you with verses to spice you, and all of my bag of tricks to shoes and rice you. They say that I'm a witch, that I weave a spell. Well, I'll be a son of a hell, and what the well? Let me tell you, I'd rather be burned as a witch than never to burn at all. I think you want a gal, a little pal, never look at another. We good and
when a mother raised my charms to undo you, my arms to unglue you, and all of the hits of the week, the sex of voodoo, do 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 you. They say that I'm a witch, that I weave a spell. Well, I'll be a son of a hell. Well, admit that I'd rather be burned as a witch than never to burn at all. You wanna love a turtle dove, bring your life little joys, sweet and sharp. The men, not the boys. I use my eyes to invite you, my lips to delight you. And where you gonna hide if I decide to use my teeth and bite you? Ow! They say that I'm a witch and that I weave a spell. Well, I'll be a son of a woo. Well, let me tell you, I'd rather be burned as a witch than never to burn at all.
I'm really excited about this. I just kind of weird because it's outside of what I usually do. I've always thought a tribute album was an easy route to take, but I am so pumped about this. I'm looking forward to having these horns. We have Wycliffe Gordon and Adrian Cunningham on. Adrian plays saxophone, clarinet, and flute. Wycliffe plays trombone, plays trombone, he plays trumpet, he plays the piano. Did you know he does all this stuff?
No.
And he sings jazz.
Wow.
Mm. And then Etienne Charles.
Ah, yes, trumpet.
So he's arranging several of the horn arrangements.
Nice.
Yeah. It's different. You know, usually I do it all.
I bring
it to the guys and I say, this is what we're going to
do.
But this is like, ooh, I don't know what's going to happen. So
how did you wind up inviting Etienne Charles to?
I love Etienne. I love the way he plays. He's a good friend of Quentin. I met him through Quentin.
Okay.
And I just love his personality. And
he
is an amazing musician.
That he is. I've seen him play percussion. I've seen him with a djembe.
What?
Yes. Surprised me. He was with Ben Williams, the bassist. Grammy winning Ben Williams. He was playing percussion.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Uh-oh.
Make a mistake.
One lonely, beautiful girl coming home from the market one day. See handsome brown-skinned boy. Fell in love with him right away. He look at her, she look at him, but she didn't know just what to say. She loved him, wanted for to marry him,
So she told him wonderful things in a very strange way. She said, come on my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on my house, gonna give you apple and a plum, let you play my phone. Come on my house, I'm gonna give you fish and tea. Come on my house, I'm gonna give you grapes and cakes while you're watching me shake. Hey, come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. I'm gonna give you everything. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you a Christmas tree. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you a peach and a pear, a touch of your hair. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy.
Excellent percussion, because I play percussion.
Well, you have a djembe, too?
I have a djembe, yeah.
I have one. Yeah, two at home.
Oh, okay.
But I don't play it the way it's supposed to be played.
Well.
I have my own way of playing. I can keep time, and I got my own rhythms, but that's not right. It's wrong. The way I'm doing it is wrong. But it's, I like it.
You have fun.
Did you take lessons?
I did.
Okay.
I took a few.
So
yeah.
There's
but
a right
I'm always
way
learning.
To do it.
There is a way. That
I can't
different.
Play like
However,
that.
However, there are people who play drums in the way that works
right.
for them,
right.
and they get what they want out of it. So
right. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
how you play it, that's it.
Yeah. Now. That's right.
when the little bluebird, who has never said a word, starts to sing, spring, spring. When the little bluebell in the bottom of the dell starts to ring, ting, ting. When the little blue clerk in the middle of his work sings a song to the moon up above, it is nature that is all simply telling us to fall in love. That's why birds do it, bees do it, even educated fleas do it. Let's fall in love. In Spain, the best of a set do it. Lithuanians, and let's do it. Honey, let's do it. Let's fall in love. The Dutch and old Amsterdam do it. Not to mention the Finns. Folks in Siam do it. Just think of Siamese twins. Some Argentines without means do it. People say in Boston even bees do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. The nightingales in the dark.
Hey!
Well, Renee Marie is going to be here in New York. She's going to be at the Jazz Standard. And let's see, I'll mention the dates later. And I'm looking forward to seeing her again.
Yes, I'm definitely going to try to do that as well.
Excellent.
Get down there and see her because she's an incredible talent, amazing vocal talent and person, and a beautiful woman.
Indeed, indeed. When she told me in March that she was doing this, she was in town recording this release, it just made so much sense to me. You know,
yes.
I've been talking to her. So, yay, looking forward to that.
He went on a weekend business trip on Friday just before dawn. She touched her bruised and swollen lip, believed that he was gone. She cooked his favorite meal just the night before, angrily slamming on the pots and the pans. Prisoner of war. It was all she could do not to scream. She poured herself a stiff one and drew a hot bath. Lit incense to the goddess of war and tried to summon her wrath. But there were too many layers and only so much booze. She never heard the stranger come in. She woke up dazed and confused to those hands in the dark, so soft and warm. He had a manner so disarming, she felt strangely at ease. And that accent was so charming when he said, "I must tie you and blindfold." She could feel his eyes on her as he opened every drawer. He dressed her in a black negligee, one she never wore. She stood trembling and listening in the dark, blind. Led her to the kitchen. He prepared a gourmet meal, and with every bite he fed her, he asked her, "How do you feel?" They spoke of art and music and the books they both had read. Then she realized the start. She'd lost all her fear and dread. They laughed and talked for hours until the wine was almost gone. Well, the negligee fell to the floor, but the blindfold and the robe stayed on. Thank you. unless she said, okay. But now she was confused. Was she willing or being forced? Well, she decided to let the stranger's hands follow their natural course. The tides came crashing round her till she was a puddle on the floor. Before he left, he kissed her gently, then slowly closed the door. And as sure as darkness precedes the light, she knew she would not be there when her husband got home that night. She lay there and listened. It was morning now, she knew. Honey, that rope had long come off, and the blindfold was askew. She squinted toward the window where the sun shone bright and warm. She raised her hands to her face, and she put that blindfold back on. She put the blindfold right.
Good evening, jazz fans. This is Hank Williams, and welcome to On the Bandstand for November 17th. In this segment of the show, we bring you aerial listings of Sugar and My Bowl guests so you can experience them live. We start with the subject of tonight's show, vocalist Renee Marie, who will be doing songs from her Eartha Kitt tribute, I Wanna Be Evil, at the Jazz Standard from November 21st to 24th. Go to jazzstandard.net/red for details. That's jazzstandard.net/red. Bobby Snabria and his Multiverse Big Band are at Jazz at Lincoln Center's Dizzy's Club, also from the 21st to the 24th. Go to jalc.org/dizzy's for details. That's jalc.org/dizzy's. The musical Lady Day continues its run at the Louis Schubert Theater on West 42nd Street. It stars vocalist Dee Dee Bridgewater as Billie Holiday. Go to LadyDayTheMusical.com for info or tickets. That's LadyDayTheMusical.com. Pianist Michelle Rosewoman will be at the Clemente Soto Velez Center on the Lower East Side on the 22nd with her new Yoruba small ensemble as part of Arts for Arts Latin Free Jazz Mini Festival. Go to artsforart.org. That's arts, A-R-T-S, for art.org. Harpist Brandy Younger will be at the PAC House Theater in New Rochelle, New York on November 23rd. See PACHouseTheater.com. That's PACHouseTheater, all one word, .com. Organist John Medeski will be at Les Poissons Rouges on November 24th as part of a 78th birthday celebration for Roswell Rudd. Go to LesPoissonsRouges.com for info. Randy Weston and Billy Harper will be at the Iridium on November 26th to 27th. See theiridium.com for more details. Looking much further ahead, saxophonist Kenny Garrett will be at the Iridium from December 6th to the 8th, and you can see theiridium.com for details on those shows as well. Visit sugarinmybowl.org for tonight's playlist and audio from this and previous shows. And if you missed anything, you can see the listings at the Sugar in My Bowl blog. Go to our main website, sugarinmybowl.org, and click on the link for the blog. Finally, a reminder that WBAI is still in financial trouble. Help keep us on the air by pledging whatever you can at give2wbai.org. This is Hank Williams signing off. We're off next week, but I'll see you Sunday, December 1st, on the bandstand.
Yes. Thank you, Hank Williams, for the bandstand, where you get to hear former sugar guests and current sugar guests. And just so you know, we have a ticket giveaway. So while the rest of this music plays and we get ready for this, you can call 212-209-2900 to get a chance to see Renee Marie. We have two pairs of tickets to give away. So give us a call at 212-209-2900. And as Hank Williams mentioned, we will be off next week. Sports Qualified will be here with M. Saidia McLaughlin. She still gets the last Sunday of the month, which is a good thing. And we'll be back on December 1st. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.
You are listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, the best radio station you'll ever hear.
Just you, baby, 'cause
baby, 'cause you my heart's delight.
Just to let you know, the tickets are gone. They're gone. They're gone. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for listening to Sugar My Bowl and Eartha Kitt and Renee Marie.
There's something that I've noticed in sort of gathering information for this program. It appears as though you were not only her daughter, not only her business manager at some point, but really her best friend. Is that accurate?
I think that she was so devoted as a mother, and she so wanted the child. My parents were not married very long, but when I was born, I became the most important person in her life. Mm-hmm. And anybody who knew her, even if you didn't know her, if you'd listened to her interviews, or even you as having done some research, see that she really was all about almost me at many times. Mm-hmm. And there were times in my life, certainly as a teenager and a young adult, when that felt very, you know, sort of oppressive and like she loved me too much. Mm-hmm. But of course, as I became an adult and then consequently had children of my own, you realize that that's really the greatest gift a parent can give a child, is to know how much they are loved. And I always knew that my mother was my biggest fan and loved me more than anything else. And so that, I think, was such an incredible support that I had, and gave me the foundation of love and unconditional love, which I think is such a blessing for a child to be given.
You also traveled with her a lot.
Yes.
What was that experience like for you?
Well, my mother felt that travel was the best education you could possibly get. Mm-hmm. And when we would travel, which was frequently, certainly, she would say, I would put my baby on one hip and the diaper bag on the other, and off we would go. A couple of reasons. One, she didn't want to leave me behind, mm-hmm. because she loved me, and she, you know, wanted to be with me. Two, she didn't want anyone else raising me.
Right.
And she felt that it was the greatest gift you could give was to see the world. So since she was in a position to show me these unbelievable countries, she thought, what more knowledge could I give my child? But one of the basic things that was very interesting traveling with her is that it wasn't all about just seeing museums and sites, the commercial sites. She made a very, very conscious effort to show me how other peoples lived, and that was a really, really concrete lesson. So when we would spend time in, say, Bangkok or in South Africa or wherever, even in some of the Latin countries, and she would make sure we left the hotel. It wasn't about staying in these beautiful hotels, as wonderful as that was. And we would go and stay with people who she would befriend, cab drivers or some of the housekeeping staff. And she would show me how real people lived in other countries. So my growing up in Beverly Hills, California was not necessarily, was definitely not, how the world functioned.
Right.
That really was a fantasy world. And that real people live very different lives. Many of them struggle every single day. And so I got to see this. I had a perspective that was very unique and taught me an awful lot. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. There were many times, this is not something I, you know, went voluntarily.
Right.
You know, she's dragging me to the streets of Bangkok, and it's, yeah, you know, 130 degrees, and we're going to an open-air market where there's, you know, carcasses and all sorts of things hanging, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I only hope, you know, she should, like, fall in a hole and I could go back to the hotel and the air conditioning. Yeah, there were lots of times when I was really miserable.
Uh-huh.
But, of course, you know, you're miserable in the moment, and that she knew. That moment was going to pass, but what I was going to have was this knowledge you can't learn in a book and you couldn't watch in a movie.
Well, tell me something that you did learn from that.
Well, when we were in South Africa, which was 1974, which was during apartheid.
Right.
And it was not a very a popular thing that my mother went to perform in South Africa. She was criticized a lot for
sure.
it. But the reason she felt, and I'm not saying she was right or wrong, it was what she felt was right for herself, that she felt that artists and performers and entertainers were the true ambassadors and diplomats because they didn't have to be politically correct.
Mm.
So they could go to countries and really make a change. It may only be a change in that, you know, small little venue or in that minute that they're there, but that it is a change. And so when we went, she made sure that she performed for, you know, integrated audiences, which of course was not something that was done or it was definitely frowned upon when we were there.
Right.
And she also went around and we raised money to build schools for the African children because she felt that that was something that needed to be, they were being neglected, obviously.
I understand there was a incident that eventually led to somebody funding or helping to fund.
Well, there was a... there was an amusement park in Durban, and I traveled with a tutor when we were overseas, and I had been going to, my tutor was British, and we would go to this amusement park every day, and I always wanted my mother to come with me, and one day she was able to come, freed up her schedule. She got on the bumper cars, which I thought was the coolest thing ever, and the gentleman who worked there came over, and he said to her, "Excuse me, ma'am, are you European?" And she said, "No, I'm American." He said, "No, no, I mean, are you colored?" And she looked at her skin, and she said, "Well, I guess if you consider this colored, then yes, I'm colored."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Well, this is a whites-only park, and I'm afraid you cannot be here." So as she stood up very calmly, as my mother would, she was very quiet, and she very elegantly and walked out of the park with me screaming, you know, crying behind her, saying, you know, "Tell him that we have VIP status. You can go anywhere. You know, he doesn't know. He doesn't understand. He's not. He doesn't know who you are. He doesn't recognize you." And she would look at me and she said, "Don't panic. Everything happens for a reason." And so a few days later, she was doing an interview and somebody said, "Well, let's take a photograph with the amusement park in the background." And she said, "Oh, that's so funny. You should mention that I was thrown out of that amusement park the other day." And of course, it was then put in the newspapers and the owner of the amusement park was embarrassed and came and said, "Please let me know if there's anything I can do to make it up to you." She said, "Well, I would love a donation for the school that we're building. That would be wonderful. And my daughter would really love to come back and bring some of her friends if you would mind to give us tickets to the amusement park." And he said, "Of course, of course, of course, please come back and, you know, bring whoever you want." So we went back a few days later and my mother brought two black children and two Indian children and two white children. And you know, that was her way. She made a statement. She very clearly made a statement. Did it change a law? No. Did it change the country? No. But it may have put a little seed in somebody's mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it made a statement very quietly. And that's how she taught. That's how she taught me growing up. Not about standing up on a soapbox and screaming and yelling that this is wrong, because a lot of times screaming and yelling, sometimes you have to do that, but she always felt that sometimes being very quiet and subtle gets you a lot further and makes a lot more of an impact.
Has anybody here seen my old friend John? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seems the good die young. But I just looked around and he's gone. Has anybody here seen my old friend Martin? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seems the good die young. I just looked around and he's gone. Has anybody here seen my old friend Martin? Can you tell me where he's gone? He feed a lot of people, but it seems the good die. Looked around, and he's gone.
Some may have chosen another way, and some the way that has been chosen for them, to get equality. Yes, many criticized and even ostracized King. But he had his way. A way in which we are all still trying to abide by through his non-violent movement.
Now, are you a singer? Have you sung?
I am not a singer. As a woman once told me at a book signing event, she was waiting in line to get my mother's autograph, and she looked at me and she said, "You don't have a nice voice like your mother."
Oh, my goodness.
So I clearly must have skipped a generation, or there's a gene or two missing. No, I'm not a singer, although I love music.
Uh-huh.
But I worked for my mother, for Eartha Kitt Productions, for 25 years.
Wow.
And it was probably a good thing. You know, I think there's a part of me that was sort of relieved, or maybe didn't even try to be a singer because I didn't really want to compete with her.
Okay.
So I think there was a sort of a safety for not going down that road.
There's a documentary. I can't think of the filmmaker right now, but the film itself is titled All by Myself, The Eartha Kitt.
Yeah, Christian Blackwood.
Thank you. And
you're welcome.
And he transitioned, unfortunately. So
yes,
I wasn't
he did.
Able
yes,
to talk
quite a few years ago, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What becomes of that film now that he's not here? Do you have any sort of say in its being released on DVD or being made available or anything like that?
No. Okay. It's would it be his estate that has the rights to it since we didn't make it?
Okay. Well, I mentioned it initially just to let people know that you can be seen in it.
A very young me. Very young me.
Exactly. Getting ready to attend the inaugural ball for President Reagan, Ronald Reagan.
That's correct. That is correct.
At the Waldorf Astoria.
I did see that clip probably about a year ago. I think one of my children found it and showed and watched it. And, of course, they made fun of me, as your children always will.
Right. Do you notice any of those traits in their children?
Yes.
Actually, how many do you have, if you don't mind?
I have two of my own and two stepchildren. So all grew up together. So four young adult children.
Okay.
Yes, the youngest is 18 and the oldest is 23.
How many girls? How many boys?
Two and two.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yep. And it's been quite the, you know, as an only child, I was very happy not to have an only child. Of course, if you ask any of them, they all wish they were only children. So we're never happy with what we've got.
Of course. Once your mother started working here again, what was the event that brought her back to the States?
Well, she started on Broadway in 1976. But, I mean, she'd been working prior to that. But the real event was she started doing the show Timbuktu.
Yes.
Timbuktu, the new Broadway musical. Melba Moore, Gilbert Price, Ara Hawkins, Eartha Kitt.
Welcome to Timbuktu.
Directed and choreographed by Jeffrey Holder, based on Kismet, and unlike anything you've ever seen, except maybe somewhere in a dream.
She's the light of my love.
Timbuktu, at the Markham Inter Theatre.
And it was during that show on Broadway, Timbuktu, and then afterwards on tour with that show, that she was welcomed back to the White House by President Carter.
Okay.
And so that was really, the press sort of played it up as the welcome back, embracing her. But she had been working back in the States. Once Watergate broke, you know, many people realized that there had been a lot of sort of unnecessary persecutions of people. So I think that where she hadn't been working in certain areas, people were now sort of allowing that to pass. Because many people had spoken out about Vietnam. She was not the last.
Right. Was she nominated for a Tony for Timbuktu?
She might have been nominated for Timbuktu. She was also nominated for the Wild Party in 2000.
Oh, okay. Okay. You're being a manager. Now, I would suspect that since you do know her and she trusts you, you were the perfect manager for her.
Yes.
What did it do for you, the experience of being a manager? How did that help you help her?
Well, I had always been, would always had the role of, you know, sometimes who was the mother and who was the daughter. I mean, I was always very protective of her as a little girl. So it certainly made perfect sense for me to work in a protective position as far as she was concerned.
Right.
It gave her tremendous ability to not worry because she wasn't very trusting of people. So she she said, look, you're going to get it all when I pass anyway, so if you're stealing from me, you're just stealing from yourself. So one way or another, I was going to get it. She loved the fact that we worked together. We were a really good team because she, for her to get on the stage and to think about her craft, that was the most important part of her and the actual creative piece of being an artist. She didn't like the whole business side of it. She didn't love, you know, having to do the talking and the schmoozing and all of that, the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Sure.
So she really relished the fact that I was there. And I often was sort of like a barricade between people and her, which kept her feeling very safe and protected,
okay.
I think. Because she felt she was always very vulnerable. And, you know, I think that she carried from her childhood in the South.
Right.
And she never lost that piece. She was never able to shake that piece. So to have me, and it was, you know, in her mind, it's like that family is so important. So it was a good role. I was actually a great personality to be her only child. I would often say it's as if God looked down and said, you would be a good fit with that one.
Yeah.
I think we balanced each other very well, and I don't think it was an accident that I was born to her.
You appear to have been a great advocate for her.
I definitely was, and still feel that I am.
Right.
And also feel that that's what she deserves.
Right.
And deserved.
You're still being an advocate for Eartha Kitt. Simply Eartha, let's talk about that.
Yes, yeah, Simply Eartha is a lifestyle brand that I created. My mother was very much about, it's very funny because she felt that words were so important. But yet at the same time, she felt that most people said too many of them.
No.
And in fact, many times when people she knew, her assistants or myself even sometimes, you'd be talking to her and she'd look at you and she would say, too many words. She liked people to be very clear, succinct, and done. And she said, there were many things that she would write down. So she loved writing. It was sometimes just a diarrhea of the brain. And she would write on the top of a page just thinking and then just write out in longhand. She wrote 4 autobiographies, and they all were in longhand. She didn't like computers. She didn't understand them. She didn't do typewriters. She didn't do any of those modern things.
Wow.
But she would write on everything from Post-it notes to beautiful leather-bound journals, you know, to legal pads to napkins. It doesn't matter what it was. When a thought came into her mind, she had to write it out.
Uh-huh.
And when people would work around her and traveled with her, she would coin these phrases, kiddisms. They weren't necessarily anything that were unique. I mean, like I said to you, she would say, God may not be there when you want him. He's always on time.
Right.
Never miss an Right. Don't panic. Never miss an opportunity to shut up. I've taken all the manure that's been thrown on me all my life and used it as fertilizer to make me stronger.
Nice.
Many men have wanted to lay me down, but few wanted to pick me up.
Mm.
So as I'm closing up her house about a year after she had gone, and she would tell me all my life, don't throw anything away. Don't throw it away. You reuse it. You repurpose it. She was very green before it was chic. And she grew her own vegetables, most happy when she had her hands in the dirt. And Eartha was her given name, and it was no coincidence.
Right.
She was a Capricorn, which is an earth sign. So she was definitely connected to the earth, to nature, to the universe on a completely different level than anybody I had ever certainly still have encountered. And so she knew, somehow she knew, that whatever it was that was put here, if she had put her hands on it, if she'd done it, it was for a reason. I should not be getting rid of it without thinking clearly. So as I'm looking through all these thousands of pieces of paper on the second anniversary of her passing, I decided to do a little book of kidisms. She had coined them kidisms. And I did a little book on my Mac computer, and I put it together with these kidisms, some of them written in her own hand, some of them just I had just typed up, and with photographs, and I gave them as gifts to people who were close to her. And people loved them. And they said, oh, my goodness, I love these kidisms. That is such a kidism. I can so hear your mother saying that, or however it would, the person could relate to it. So then as time had gone on, the Facebook page, which is Be Eartha Kitt, would be up. Every now and then I'd post a kidism, and the fans started to respond to them. And so it sort of evolved to be this brand of home accessory items, because home was the most important place my mother could be. And I put her words. So I now look at it that I am giving voice to her words. And that this is the legacy that she has left for me to continue to be able to share with her fans, old and new, as well as be able to let people think. My mother loved to have conversations, deep, deep conversations, philosophical. She'd read Socrates and Plato, and she read the dictionary, and she was always yearning for knowledge. And she loved to make people's minds work. So if she would say to you, don't panic, it doesn't change anything, and it makes it difficult to think clearly and to see what may actually be right in front of you that you may need to see. So it gives you a moment to pause, because everything happens for a reason. There are no coincidences. And these words were very profound for me. And what I'm seeing is that when other people see them, they relate to them in their own lives.
Right.
Somebody may see the words, you know, never miss an opportunity, shut up, and they may say, oh my goodness, I have to give that to my sister. Or I have to give this to a coworker. Or I remember my father used to write down all these things. So it's starting these great conversations as I go to different events with the product, and it starts conversations among people that they want to share with their families and their friends. And it just gives me tremendous pride, because I know my mother would be beaming. Mm. Of course, she'd probably be saying something like, well, it's about time. That would be how she would be beaming. But, and a portion of the proceeds go to Colon Cancer Alliance, because my mother unfortunately died from a cancer that's very unnecessary to succumb to. When it's found early and with routine testing, it can be found early. It's treatable and beatable. And so the Colon Cancer Alliance is about exposing people to the importance of being tested early, because colon cancer is the second largest cancer killer in the United States.
Wow.
After lung cancer. But, of course, it's much sexier to talk about our breasts than it is to talk about our colons, unless
right.
they're 12-year-old boys.
Right. So the website is simplyeartha.com, right?
Yes, simplyeartha.com. What we remember, what we treasure, what we love.
And you also have a Facebook page for Simply Eartha?
I have a Facebook page for Simply Eartha.
You have a Twitter.
I have a Twitter for Simply Eartha. I've got Instagram. I've got all the things I'm supposed to have, which takes up so much of your time trying to figure out what you post on things. And because my people who know my mother, or even if you don't, if you learn a little bit about her, you know that I'm the face behind the brand. So,
right.
Nobody else can post for me, because
right.
it's not my voice, so it doesn't work. So,
you are the poster.
I am the poster. Thank goodness there's cell phones that you can post from now, because I would never leave the house if I only had to use a desktop.
So true.
Of course, I've needed my children to, you know, show me how to do most of these things, but
I was just going to ask you about that, whether you had someone to show them.
I do. I'm very blessed. My mother's assistant is still in my life, and I have some very key, wonderful people who I call and scream and go, I can't get this to do what I want it to do. Why am I pushing the wrong buttons? Why isn't it? So it's very good. But all of the items that are made in the United States, because my mother was all about made in the USA. That was something very important to her. She felt that was really the demise of, in many ways, of the country, was outsourcing our labor to other countries.
How true.
So we use natural and or recycled materials.
Excellent.
Made by local artisans in the United States.
Beautiful. Oh, that's wonderful.
You know, it's when someone handed me a piece of material recently, and it was made in China, and I said, if I put my mother's words on this material, she will drop a house on my head. I mean, it will be It can't. It won't work. I know it's more expensive, but it's just not who she was. And if I'm going to be true to her, I have to be true to who she was.
You know, it's funny you made that comment about dropping a house on your head. I think you had posted on her Facebook page, or somebody posted a picture of Eartha Kitt dressed as a witch.
Well, yes, I posted that on Halloween because I have that picture in one of my hallways that, you know, my children when they were little used to be scared of. And yes, I said, when your mother goes to work looking like this, kind of hard to come up with a Halloween costume.
Right. How did you snag a deal for Eartha Kitt to record a disco song?
Well, you know, it was, she had the most amazing voice. I mean, anybody who's heard it, we all know that, right?
Right.
I mean, her voice was just as unique as she was.
Right.
And many people who maybe would have recognized her, but the second she spoke, you recognized her voice.
Right.
That was something that somebody came to her. A producer from France came and said, we'd like you to do a disco song. I'm not even sure my mother knew what disco was.
Mm.
You know, she was very much a recluse in many ways. And she was like, why would I want to do a dance song? But of course, she loved it and it became a huge hit. Another funny thing was, you know, she won 3 Emmy Awards.
Oh.
The year before she passed and the 2 years after. So she won 2 of them posthumously because she was the voice of the villain on a Disney show called The Emperor's New School.
Right.
And she did the movie that Sting, in fact, had done the music for, which was amazing. I remember sitting in Sting's apartment and my mother singing and Sting just singing with her, and I'm just sitting there on the couch going, okay, I'm good.
That had to be good for you.
I'm really good right now. So she did the feature film, which was The Emperor's New Groove.
Right.
She played the villain Yzma. She loved playing the villains. And then she went on to do, I believe it was 3 years or 3 or 4 years of The Voice for Yzma.
Wow.
So she had, her career was so diverse and long, and because of her versatility from being a dancer to having this amazing voice, to singing, to acting, she was able to transcend through many, many different eras. You mentioned dance music. She started in the 50s and then,
right,
you know, was able to go on with her voice until the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And she performed right up until she passed. She passed on Christmas Day, 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And her last concert was before the Virginia Symphony on, I believe it was September 23rd, 2008. 90-minute show with the symphony orchestra. And you would never have known that she was ill at all. Because once she stepped on that stage, that adrenaline kicked in and she still had her voice, which... she knew she was blessed to have been able to, you know, maintain her vocal cords, as she would have said, for all those years.
She started her performing life, from what I understand, is with Katherine Dunham as a dancer?
Yes, with the Katherine Dunham dance troupe.
Yeah.
She was a friend of her dared her to go and audition for the school.
Right.
And my mother lived in Spanish Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
And she said the only formal dance training she ever had was dancing on the streets to the Latin beats that you would hear in the streets of New York.
Sure.
And so she went and took this dare and auditioned for the Katherine Dunham Dance Company and won a scholarship to the school and then joined the company. And that's how she ended up traveling to Europe with the company. And then when she was in Paris at one point, she left the company because Miss Dunham dared her, as my mother said. All of the things that happened to her in her life was because she'd been dared and took the dare. Miss Dunham dared her to leave the company, and my mother took the dare and did, and she started singing because she didn't know what else to do in a nightclub, and that's where Orson Welles discovered her and cast her opposite him in his performance of Faust, and from there she came back to the United States and started recording and acting.
Now, she did a children's song, I think. What is it? Ishkibibble?
She did a Turkish song.
Uh-huh.
Üşküdar'a giderken aldı da bir yağmur. Üşküdar'a giderken aldı da bir yağmur. Katibimin satırızı uzun etey camur. Katibimin satırızı uzun etey camur. Katib uykudan uyanmış gözleri mahmur. Katib uykudan uyanmış gözleri mahmur. Katibin min bin katibin el karışur. Katibin mi satırete palto ne güzel yaraşur.
Üşküdar'a is a little town in Turkey. And in the old days, many women had male secretaries. Oh, well, that's Turkey.
Üsküdar'a giderken bir mendil buldum. Üsküdar'a giderken bir mendil buldum. Mendilimin içine de lokum doldurdum. Mendilimin içine de lokum doldurdum.
They take a trip from Ishkadara in the rain, and on the way they fall in love. He's wearing a stiff collar and a full dress suit. She looks at him longingly through her veil and casually feeds him candy. Oh, those Turks.
Kya divim ara ikin yandim da burdum. Kya divim ara ikin andim da burdum. Kya divinim bin kya divin el karishur. Kya divim kolal dagam lik ne güzel yarashur. Kativim ara ikin yandim da burdum. Kativim ara ikin yandim da burdum. Kativimin bin kativin el karışur. Kativim kölel de gümlek ne güzel yaraşur. Kativim kölel de gümlek ne güzel yaraşur.
When she came back to the United States in about 1948, RCA, she had this very interesting vocal quality.
Right.
People didn't even realize, many people, that she was from the South. So she was from South Carolina. Most people thought she was from the Caribbean islands or she was from Europe because, you know, she certainly didn't sound American.
Right.
So they gave her the strangest song. What do you do with someone with a strange voice? You give them a strange song. They gave her a Turkish song called Ishkadara that she sang, and it was a Turkish folk song, and that became very famous for her in the early 1950s. But then, of course, she recorded Santa Baby, which was written for her, which became something that she was known for her entire life.
Oh, yeah. And then with that recording, I guess, she was sort of really big in, like, jazz and blues and started recording songs that gave that flavor as opposed to, you know, Turkish folk songs.
Right, right. Yes, I mean, that's very true. I mean, she recorded, she was really, I guess what would have been classified nowadays as a traditional pop.
Mm-hmm.
But in those days, you know, they wanted to class her as jazz or blues because,
right,
as my mother said, when you're African-American, they don't know what else to do with you. You're either a gospel singer,
uh-huh,
or a jazz singer or a blues singer. You can't just be a singer.
Right.
The evening sun go down. Hate to see the evening sun go down. Cause my baby, he's done left this town. Feeling tomorrow like I feel today. Feeling tomorrow like I feel today. I'm gonna pack my trunk, make my getaway.
Sail away, woman, with a diamond ring. Hold your hand around, fire everything.
Twerns for powder and her store-bought hair. The man I love wouldn't have gone nowhere. Got the St. Louis blues, just as blue as I can be. That man's got a heart like a rock cast in the sea. Or else he wouldn't have gone so far from me. His pie, like a Kentucky
loves his mint and rye. I love my baby.
I think the thing that gave my mother the greatest satisfaction, because for those people who may look on simplyeartha.com and see what I look like, I am very light-skinned with blonde hair and hazel eyes, and many people were surprised that, you know, she actually gave birth to me, which she did, but she loved the fact that she gave birth to this sort of mutt, you know, that you couldn't put me in a category.
Right.
She would say to me, you're a walking United Nations, because my father was German and Irish and British, and my mother was African-American and Cherokee and white. And so she really loved that people would look at me and sort of say, I don't know, she could be, where is it? Where could she be from? And I think that gave her such tremendous satisfaction that she had brought this little mutt into the world.
So the site again is simplyeartha.com?
Simplyeartha.com, yes. A tribute to my mother and the wonderful teachings and amazing life and person that graced this earth.
So thank you so much, Kit Shapiro, for joining me and Sugar in My Bowl and the WBAI audience and sharing your mother with us for this time.
You're very welcome. It was my pleasure.
And once again, everybody, take yourself over to simplyeartha.com, check out the Kitisms, and have
and some great stories that I write about growing up with my mother.
It's a really great site. As a matter of fact, you're in the works of some writing.
Yes, I'm working on a memoir of life with my mother, yes.
That's it, yes. Is there a timetable on that, or it's happening as it happens?
It's happening as it happens, as my mother's life has always, and as she taught me to live.
Excellent. Well, thank you again, Kit Shapiro.
You're very welcome. It was a pleasure.
I were a little bird, I'd fly from tree to tree. I'd build my nest way up in the air, where the bad boys could not bother me. Love, oh love, oh careless love,
love,
oh love, oh careless
love.
You broke the heart of a many poor girl, but you'll never break this heart of mine. Love, oh love, oh careless love. Life of mine.
You know that's just sad. But you gotta hear them say, you have to hear her say the words. There we go. Okay, so this is Renee Marie in the background. She's singing C'est c'est bon, c'est c'est bon. This is from I Wanna Be Evil, her latest release, Renee Marie's latest release. We have Kevin Bales on piano, Elias Bailey on bass, Quentin Baxter on drums and percussion, and let's see, on this recording, if I'm not mistaken, there's Adrian Cunningham on clarinet. And before that, we heard Careless Love, that's Eartha Kitt and Shorty Rogers and his orchestra. A lot of those recordings by Eartha Kitt were from That Bad Eartha, and it was released in 1953. And let's see, before that we heard Uskudara, and before that we heard Where is My Man, from Streetwise Records, 1983 release. Before that we heard the Timbuktu commercial from the Broadway musical Timbuktu, directed by Jeffrey Holder. And before that we heard Abraham Martin and John as Eartha Kitt and the Black Academy Choir. It's from My Way, a musical tribute to Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. And that was recorded in 1987, but released on ITM Records in 1996. Oh, there's Adrian. Adrian Cunningham on clarinet. You just have to get your hands on your own copy of I Wanna Be Evil by Renee Marie, and then you won't hear me talking all over this. And let's see, before that, I tried to talk a little. Before that, we heard My Heart's Desire by Eartha Kitt. Before that, we heard African Lullaby, also by Eartha Kitt. That was from That Bad Eartha. Weekend by Renee Marie from I Wanna Be Evil. All the recordings by Renee Marie are from I Wanna Be Evil. And on Let's Do It, there was a special guest appearance by Wyclef Gordon. And let's see, before that we heard Come On to My House, Renee Marie from I Wanna Be Evil, with special guest Quentin Baxter. Oh, nope, wait, the special guest is Etienne Charles. The regular guest is Quentin Baxter on drums. And Etienne Charles on djembe. You know, yeah, we talked in March. I ratted on Etienne Charles, and Renee Marie made her think. Anyway, before that we heard I'd Rather Be Burned as a Witch, Renee Marie. I Wanna Be Evil, same recording. Oh John, before that, by Eartha Kitt. Before that, I Wanna Be Evil, Renee Marie's version. And we played I Wanna Be Evil, the Eartha Kitt version. Yes? Is that how that went? Yes. And before that, we had Angelitos Negros from That Bad Eartha Kitt. And we opened the show with I'm a Little Sugar in My Bowl once again. Renee Marie will be at the Jazz Standard on November 21st through the 24th. That's Thursday through Sunday. And you can check out the jazzstandard.com/red. Yeah, you can go to the Sugar in My Bowl website, sugarinmybowl.org. Check out the blog for the bandstand, which is up now, as is the playlist. So if I've fumbled through something, it's there and you can catch it. Check it out. We will not be here next week, as mentioned. Sports Qualified with M. Saidia McLaughlin will be here. And we'll be back on December 1st. Still trying to work out that guess. Now that we have more days to fill up. We got to work real hard for these things. Anyway, stay tuned for La Nueva Alternativa, coming up next on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org on the web. Also, if you want to hear the rest of the Renee Marie exchange, you can go to sugarmybowl.org and check out our show archives. Oh,
Hello. Bueno, this is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.